welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for July 23rd. It's the 23rd show.
On the 23rd. That's pretty amazing. How'd you figure that one? How'd you manage that, John?
Manage it? Pure luck. How did I figure it out? I just looked just now. Anyways, brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me is my buddy Jim Allen. How you doing, dude? Miss ya.
I know. It's so weird going to the office and not seeing your smiling face there, man.
Well, yeah, but at least half of the old horse department is still working with you, so.
And the other half's with you, so.
Say hello to them when you see them next time.
I will.
All right, no interview this week, but we're going to discuss the WBC situation. We're going to talk about the All-Star Games and touch on a few other topics. So let's start clearing the bases.
Right. Well, we had some big news. It was big news all over Japan on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the news that comes around every 3 or 4 years before the first All-Star Game when the Players Association meets to decide that they don't want to take part in the World Baseball Classic. And this year was the same as it was in 2005 and 2008, that no, we don't really think the WBC is a good idea. Now, as you know, in 2005 and 2008, the Players Union said, we're not so keen on this, and then they went ahead and joined.
They found a way.
Yeah, they found a way, which was basically, oh, okay, we'll do it. We don't like it, but we'll do it.
Right.
Okay, so they followed, they stuck true to form. Now, the 2005 dispute was about the timing of the WBC, because the Japanese players, to them it was sacrilege that the regular season, the preparations for the regular season should be interrupted by a tournament.
Yeah.
It's like having a party, having fun during spring training.
Let's play games that really kind of matter a little.
Yeah, doing something.
And you get to bring home a big prize, but, you know, it's right in the middle of spring training.
And it's in spring training when, obviously, they were saying, hey, let's get our priorities straight. This is practice, man.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's like they're the alternate universe version of Allen Iverson. Oh, this is practice. What's your problem?
And in case, I mean, for those of you who don't know, the Players Association on Friday voted not to take part in the World Baseball Classic, the first two of which Japan has won, 2006 and 2009. And the other issue is that MPB has said it would put a team in the tournament, essentially. Right.
Yeah, well, that's not, they can't really do that without, to be honest. I mean, there was talk about this, both in 2000, there was speculation among foreign writers, but the real point is that the NPBA is going to decide whether Japan plays or not.
That's the Players Association, right, right.
It's going to field a team. Based of U.S. minor leaguers and major leaguers and guys who play winter ball or, you know, the independent leagues here,
mm-hmm.
Who could all, of course, take part because they're all professionals.
Right.
But, so certainly Japan could field a professional team. There's no problem. There's no need for that. But the point is that they won't unless the NPBA goes along. Now, did Japan agree to field a team? Yes, they did. But what they did was
Nippon Professional Baseball.
Correct. They agreed with the WBC Inc. to participate in the tournament. And the word on that was the WBC was accepting a Japanese yes, which is meaning no signed on the line contract.
Mm-hmm.
But a commitment, you know.
Right, a face saving.
Yeah, we'll do it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
It's customary in Japan to sign contracts sometimes after the previous contract has expired and you've been working somewhere for several weeks.
Right. Now, I'm sorry, I cut you off because you were talking about the heart of the problem this time.
Okay. Now, the heart of the problem this time was the same problem as in 2008, which was the players are upset that most of the are upset by the balance of revenues and revenue sharing.
Or lack thereof.
This is the key. This is a real serious issue with the WBC. And I think there's two sides. There's two great sides to it. One is the fact that more than half of, according to the Players Union and NPB, WBC Inc. has not disputed this, more than half of the total revenue, more than half of the licensing and sponsorship revenues.
And the figure I've seen is 66%.
Well, no, this is another issue. Argo, I've heard 70% of licensing and sponsorship and television rights income to WBC Inc. are coming out of Japan. Now, what the players are saying is that 60%, Jim Small at MLB in Japan has confirmed this, that 66% of the revenues from the before prize money, which Japan got the lion's share of, 66% of the revenues before prizes for placing in the tournament went to the MLB and MLBPA, and 13% went to NPB to be divided among its players and teams. Now, the problem here is that, yes, it's true, but there's two factors which Jim Small would like you to understand. One is that the NPB is 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Major leagues are 30 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Affected, and also the MLBPA players in the tournament consisted of something like 260 players.
As opposed to Japan's team. Right.
So, just on terms of players who took part in the tournament, one would expect the MLBPA share to be 10 times what Japan's share was.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 times.
Okay.
And also there's the fact that when the profits come in, the first chunk of that has to go to pay off the debts incurred in sponsoring the tournament, which is $6 to $7 million up front.
Right, and we're talking about, you know, they procure the fields, they set up everything, they run the tournament, and it takes a lot of legwork to get it done, right?
No, they supply the charter flights for Japan to fly to the U.S.
Right.
So anyway, Japan is upset that the tournament is not run like the World Cup in soccer, where there is essentially teams exist. They essentially can play in the tournament based on their own sponsorship revenues. There's a small amount. They pay entry fees to get into the tournament. They get some money to take part in the tournament. But their profits are basically depending on how much sponsorship money they and their share of the TV revenues.
Mm-hmm.
There are pooled revenues, but by and large, the teams have will get to keep their domestic revenues. This is what they want. The problem, so that's the issue, and they're saying it's not fair. What do you think?
What do I think? Well, I saw the percentages that they ran. I mean, I read the article, an article in the Ho Chi Sports, and it talked about, you know, it showed a pie chart saying, you know, the WBC Inc., MLB, or / MLB gets 66% of the pie, Japan gets 13%, South Korea 9%, and, you know, it looks like scraps. And then you think about all the work that it takes to get a tournament like this organized and have all these teams play in one area and then go to where they played before. I think they played in Dodger Stadium and then at San Diego at Petco Park. I haven't gotten to go. You have. But it does seem, when you look at it
right from
a distance, it seems very unfair. And then you consider the fact that Japan's won twice, and if that's all the money they're getting, certainly, yeah. You know, if they don't have their own licensing, if they don't have their own the rights to their merchandising, yeah, it is unfair in my eye. But they've got to negotiate those things beforehand. They have to I think it was negotiated early on before they actually won the first World Baseball Classic, and then they tried to negotiate and failed the second one, and then I think they put themselves behind the eight ball.
Well. I think that's basically they get an offer. here's the deal. Well, actually, Japan Players Association has a seat on the steering, or I should say NPB has at least one seat on the steering committee. So does KBO. So does the MLB and the MLBPA. I don't think the Japan Players Association does. I think those four bought, Japan, Korea, the MLBPA and MLB. Now, the question here is, could they negotiate? Could they have input? Absolutely. Do they listen to Japan? Yes. The problem is, of course, that the WBC's principal constituents are the teams. Again, here is the issue. Without the tacit support of most of the 30 major league baseball teams and their parent companies, there is no WBC.
Yeah. There's nothing. You know, it's just a bunch of teams that want to play baseball but have no platform for it.
That the platform is absolutely the correct word, I think, in my thinking, the absolute correct term there. The Japan team would like to see every team, you know, they would like to see, their thinking on this is very much like NPB's organization. The home team should get everything.
Home team or winning team.
All the revenues for each game. And forget about the team. If you think about it this way, let's say the BayStars says, well, we're not going to play the Giants because we don't make any, we're not going to play the Giants at Tokyo Dome because we don't make any money from that game.
Right.
How much money are the Giants going to make? Wait, we're not going to make anything because there's no team to play. Problem. This is the same problem in a nutshell with the WBC and with Japan's proposition. You can't have a tournament if you're the only people who are making money. You can't have a tournament.
Right.
Nobody's going to play for nothing.
I looked at some of the comments and I translated a couple. I wanted to read it. I wanted to read it real quick. Okari-kun of the Cebu Lions says, as far as baseball goes, it has been taken out of the Olympics, and this is the lone international level competition. To say it's a shame is stating the obvious, but this is the decision and it is what it is. Masahiro Makun Tanaka of the Eagles, he said, the players, all of us, we want to play. We feel that way, but just wanting to play isn't enough.
Okay.
I mean, you know, essentially it's going to take more than just the desire to play to be able to play in the tournament. They have to work out a deal. Atsunori Inaba, the fighter, said, I'm sure the fans had expectations for the WBC and we're aware of that, but when we consider future MPB players, the way MLB has things right now is clearly problematic.
Well, it is problematic, but so is reality is problematic.
Yeah.
Problems. We've got air pollution and crime and substance abuse issues and education issues, health issues. The world is a problematic place.
We've got bullying issues, particularly in Japan.
So, eventually we want to go to that. The idea, of course, the ultimate goal of the tournament is to build up worldwide. And here's a fundamental difference between Japan's approach and the Major League approach. And I should say the recent Major League approach. This is such a new thing for the Major Leagues to think that not only would people care about Major League Baseball outside the United States and Canada, but they would pay money to watch it, and they would pay money to, they could enrich themselves. The owners could enrich themselves by building baseball beyond, outside of North America. This is a brand new concept. And this is a concept which really has not caught on in Japan yet. One of the reasons small businesses here, while Major League Baseball has an office in Japan, is because it's profitable for Japanese companies constructs, in some ways, to have tie-ups with Major League Baseball, marketing and branding themselves as a Major League partner, offering Major League, using Major League images, using Major League premiums to attract customers, to associate themselves with that brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big business for major leagues, is money income coming from overseas. Now, they're very proactive. their operating base. MLB is spending out a ton of money to operate baseball camp, baseball academies in Eastern Europe and China. That's the big market. Why? Because there's a pool of talent. Not everybody was born to be a soccer player. Not everybody was born to be a basketball player. There's got to be guys who are good at, who aren't the best at those sports, but who might be dynamite baseball players.
It's true.
And the same in China. And, you know, what's going to happen when these academies start, you know, pumping out the first major league, their first major league superstars in China, it's going to be big.
It's going to be an explosion.
Big television money and merchandising money. And now this is what Japan is missing out on, because the same would be true in Japan if Japan sought a global reach. They could reap a share of this. MLB is spending some of the money on the tournament to build these academy. I don't know, to be fair, I don't know how much of this is going into building academies. I doubt that there's a one-to-one connection there, mm-hmm. but they are using it to develop grassroots baseball at grassroots level around the world. Why? Because that's their market.
Right.
So,
yeah, can you imagine a guy similar to the figure that Yao Ming became in the NBA put on the baseball stage? It would be incredible for Major League Baseball, for China.
Yeah, if Wang Wang Ming, the guy, the current national.
Chen Ming Wong.
Wang, who was with the
Yankees before,
and now with the Nationals, had his parents come from the People's Republic of China, like, or his grandparents been from the People's Republic of China, like Jeremy Lin's grandparents were, then
I was trying to leave Jeremy Lin out of this, but okay.
And we had a Chinese friend over here from the far north of China in Manchuria. And I said, you know about Jeremy Lin? He said, who? And as soon as we said his Chinese name, he went, oh, yeah!
Settle down there, Jimmy, breaking your mic.
he was jumping out of his chair. So this is a big, big deal. And this is someplace Japanese baseball they're not in a position to exploit it. But there's so many things Japanese baseball could sell overseas. They're still living in the mentality that our game is good enough because we're in Japan and our market is Japanese and we're Japanese. And if the games are slow and boring and dull, that's okay because we're all Japanese. And where else are they going to get their baseball?
So can we say this about the Players Association at least? Can we say stop worrying so much about the money and worry about the game?
We could. But I think they have to ask themselves the question. They have to sit back and ask themselves, okay, well, my message to the Players Association would be, okay, make your own tournament. If you don't like the way this one's run, do yours.
Mm-hmm.
What would that? They'd have to go to the major league owners and cut them a deal, which would be probably worse than the one, you know, they'd have to give more money to the majors for Japan to run the WBC under NPB, the NPBBA plan, NPBBA plan, then PA plan, then the major leagues are taking now. You know,
again, because of all those teams and all those players who are participating.
To pay all those other teams to participate, they'd have to front up all those costs, and what they would find out is essentially, you know, they might end up with a different formula. Now, I think a solution could be reached I think a real compromise can be released if they plan, okay, this will be the format for the fundamental format for this tournament and the next tournament, and then we'll work on, if you have a plan, let's discuss it now.
Right.
Down the road, and then you can get into that future generations, and that can save everybody's face. Now, my personal opinion is that the NPBPA is being led around the nose by a couple of lawyers. This sounds so old-fashioned and hard-headed and reactionary, and I'm not, but the the stuff that the Players Association does, I mean, the concrete stuff, not the, the idealistic stuff it does, mm-hmm. is just out of whack. It's just out of whack. It's all about maneuvering for legal positions, in its dealings with the NPB.
Yeah. Well, the story that I read near the end, it said that NPB was going to try to convince the players to figure out a way to
what
play.
What happened, and I think, they're getting, I think what the NPBPA wants out of this is media coverage, which they got. And buried in all the conversations and all the stuff was a comment by the former union chairman, Shinya Miyamoto, was, this is not the end of the discussion. In fact, Arai, in the Q&A after the meeting,
mm-hmm.
said, oh, well, what? Well, we've been waiting for a year for the organizers to respond to us, and in fact, the WBC Inc. issued a statement a few hours later that said, look, this is not an issue between Japan's players and WBC Inc. This is an issue between NPB and the NPBA. PA.
The Players Association, right.
As well as it was in 2005 when NPB signed on to the tournament and didn't know they had signed on to the tournament and didn't think it was necessary to tell the players they had signed on to the tournament.
Hello.
Now.
Get on the plane. We're going, guys.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. And they're saying, like, wait. NPB mistook things. And I do not believe that is the case now, although because some of the big guns are now in charge of negotiating with the players, and by big guns I mean Toshimasa Shimada, the chief, the head honcho of the Nippon Ham Fighters, one of the brightest minds they have, and it's not just being run by flunkies out of the commissioner's office with not enough imagination or organizational skills that they couldn't find work elsewhere.
Alrighty there.
Yeah, a little dig there. Okay, now, the question here then, so I think this is going to happen. I think that they're going to find some face-saving way to have the tournament. Now, the other news in the WBC is that the day before this, the extraordinary session of the Players Union was held in Osaka, prior to the first All-Star game, WBC Inc. Leaked information that Japan, for the first time, would not be, if Japan advances to the second round of the WBC, they will not be flying to the States, because the second round, a second round tournament will be held in Japan.
Right.
So the only tournament that won't be held in Japan are the finals, which is pretty cool. So it's very likely that they may see the Asian round perhaps in Osaka Dome, and the Asia round also, interestingly enough, one of the great things, the first WBC, one of the great things was the rivalry between South Korea and Japan.
Yeah, I remember that very vividly.
They played three times, and everybody said, why did Japan and South Korea play each other three times? We're going to fix that. And so they fixed it, and they played five times.
Yeah, it was a real great solution. Let's have them play. Three's not enough. Let's have them play more.
From round robin to knockouts, which meant Japan and Korea met twice in each round. Okay, now, next year, the format, just for the listeners, the format is ostensibly this. They're going to have qualifying, and qualifying will fill four spots, one spot in each of the four first-round pools. The other three spots now who will play the first round in Japan will be China, Japan, and, drumroll please. Thank you, John, Mr. Percussion. Cute, which is really cool. It's not great for the... But I'm sure that somehow, as long as, if they're going to schedule a second round in Japan, that means the other team in that side, the other group in that side of the bracket is going to contain South Korea so that they can have a climactic quarterfinal game against South Korea in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but I suspect that will be the case.
Well, let's hope it comes to fruition.
Yep. Okay. So that was that. Of course, the players some of the players said that when they heard about, when mentioned that they would have two rounds in Japan, it's like, well, that's a sure thing that they don't have. They can't make enough money without getting more from Japan. About their getting money from us. Okay. So anyway, so that's that for the WBC. What do you think it's going to be solved?
Do I think it's going to be solved? I don't have any expectations. My only question was with the one that I threw to you the other day was that, let's say guys like Ichiro and Matsui who are in the major leagues decide that they want to play. Are they eligible to play because they're not members of the Players Association here in Japan?
Well, the answer would be yes, but the answer they would.
Well, the answer, yeah, would they play is probably not.
The answer would be no, because when they asked them the next day, everybody said, I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
They are in a position, a really precarious position. They can't, you know, come out and say, I'm going to play. And also because they would have to, I think, according to the WBC agreement, the NPBPA, I'll get it right last time, has to sign on. They can't have a tournament without Japan's domestic league.
Right.
So I think it will happen, and I think it'll happen before too long. I think in the next couple of months it'll happen. If it doesn't happen, the first round will be held in Taiwan. Probably the second round will be held in the States again. Taiwan will move out of the qualifying pool this end of this year, and they'll be replaced by Botswana or France, maybe. I don't know.
Yes. Quality of baseball going down. But let's talk about a different quality of baseball and move over to the All-Star Series.
Wow.
Did you get to see the games? The first two, I should say, because we're not done with this thing yet.
I know. I think the last All-Star game is scheduled to end the day before the Japan Series starts.
It's quite possible, and they're going to move that to, where's the latest place that had some, that needs some relief effort or something? I don't mean to make light of the fact, but that Tohoku needs some help, but my goodness, all these All-Star games. I mean, one is enough. Two, too many. Three, wake me up when it's over. Let me sleep.
Have game one in Iwate.
Have the only game in Iwate. How about that? Well, the Central League team won 4-1 on Friday and came back on Saturday with a 4-0 win. They've shut out the Pacific League for 17 consecutive innings, which I think was a record for the, well, actually, it was a record for the Central League team pitching,
right,
and that, thus a record for the PL League's batters. But my issue with this game was game one, or right, this series, I should say, is game one. And I put it on the Facebook page. I said, you know, as soon as the announcement came out, I said, why is Yuki Saito starting this game?
That's a good question, because he's not from, I don't think he's from Osaka. It doesn't mean anything.
It wouldn't matter anyway, because first of all, he's really not an all-star. He's just a popular figure.
He's just a, come out and say it, he's just a punk.
I don't even know that he's good enough to be, you know, in the punk status.
Okay, he's an, you know, I call him an idol. You know, he's a little,
he should be dancing with AKB48 plus one.
Okay. So there's that to it. And yeah, why is he playing? Well, the reason he doesn't have to play.
No, I don't mind him pitching, and he was voted in and he's going to pitch. Why is he starting game one?
He doesn't have to. There's no rule. We're not in the U.S. where the fans vote the starters. The starters don't have to, the people the fans vote can sit on the bench.
Let's see, what did Kuriyama do to Akiyama to get him to start Yuki Saito?
Yeah, he may have.
Did he throw, let's say he just said, hey, look, you know, we're going to lose some games to you guys in the second half and let you, you know, overtake us so you can win the league championship or something like that. I mean,
I don't know what it was. It was like, thank you for, you know, not kicking my guys' butts off of the All-Star. Thank you for starting, you know, for start. He did something for him. And probably just by letting him start, he had a Hawks pitcher who didn't have to start. You know, he took some innings away from Hawks pitchers and he didn't want Callahan's.
Well, you know what? It should be Akiyama. Somebody should be accountable because you can't let people, I mean, with guys like Naruse and Makun out there, you can't let a punk, well, we already established he's not a punk, a chump like Yuki Saito start game one. It's a total letdown. You know, I think that we talked about this last year on the podcast or one of the podcasts, and we said part of the All-Star appeal is your star power.
Sure. And he's got star power.
He's gonna get the older women and the young girls to flip the TV on to take a peek at his little cute smile. Maybe it would have been nice if he had a little handkerchief like he did in high school and pulled it out and wiped his brow.
Should let him give him the handkerchief back.
Should have like stuffed his pocket with handkerchiefs for that first pitch and then have him take him out and do a ceremonial wipe.
Pull out one
or like a magician, yeah, just keep pulling out a long one and, you know, different colors and all kinds of crap, because it would have been better than watching him pitch.
Okay.
And I'm sure the Central League took it easy on him. I mean, that ball that Norihiro, yeah, Nakamura hit, it was only stopped by the wall, and the wall tried to get out of the way. It was hit so hard.
And he didn't even elevate it much. It only finished in the second deck.
Yeah.
So. Well, Osaka Dome's a good place to hit home runs, and he's hit a lot of them there, so, I think that was the plan. Give us a pitcher who will let us, put some balls in the upper deck, and we'll give you something.
You know what? You know, it just shows me that this game means less than nothing. It shows disrespect to the great pitchers of the Pacific League. It shows that because there's a series of games that really nobody cares who wins or loses. And in fact, second game, it looked like the guys were, you know, we're coming off of this WBC vote thing where they won't play in that, but they'll play in this for chump change, I guess, for them. But they're out there just hugging each other on outs. You know, I saw guys running past the mound and hugging Kenta Maeda in game two. And I'm like, what is this? What is going on out here? Nobody's competing out here. They're just throwing fastballs and seeing how far people can hit them or if they can hit them at all. I mean, let's consolidate and get this thing down to one game that means something, that has more importance.
A lot of things they could do with it. I mean, there are some, you know, I absolutely agree with you. There's way too much. There's All-Star. It's both underkill, it's underpromoted, and it's overkill.
You know, and that's difficult to do.
Yeah, well, no, it isn't. It's because they have, it's like...
Well, no, they make it look easy.
NPB doesn't make anything look easy. Everything is made to look horrible and difficult, regardless of how simple it should be. It's like, the only way it could possibly be worse is if I were organizing it.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, so what they have is they have an event, which could be a relatively big draw. I mean, it could be a moneymaker. And then they treat it so shabbily, and then they multiply that. So they're sort of like in the position of somebody who's saying, well, let's see, if I sell you a painting that's worth nothing, you know, or I can make a painting or some sort of some sort of product, and I can sell it, give it to you for nothing. But if you don't want it, you're not going to take it. You can't give the darn thing away. And they're almost like that with the All-Star game. It's such a poorly conceived, I can't say it's poorly run. I guess it's getting better. They're getting better at it. But it could be done so much better for sure.
Well, I'm not saying, go ahead.
And that being said, there are still great things about the All-Star game that I absolutely love.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they should make the games count for something like the major leagues tries to do. And, you know, that's kind of a mistake. I'm not saying they should do that, no matter how much. In fact, you know, they like to mirror the major leagues a lot, and they haven't picked up on that flawed logic, and they haven't done that. But make it a game. Make it one game with some significance. Make it like the NHL, you know, get the guys to pick, the players to pick who's going to start or fill out the lineups or something like that. And then get, you know, I don't mind the fans voting in whoever they want to vote in. It makes more sense than starting Yuki Saito. And even if the fans want that, then that's what's going to make the fans watch, and I'm fine with that. But to have a manager pick him for no reason and throw him out there, it's just, to me, it just made me want to turn the game off.
Well, the first of all, the games do matter. How could you have forgotten the crucial, all-important value of winning the All-Star Series? You forgotten?
Money?
No.
I've forgotten.
Oh, and this is their big selling point. Oh, and you've forgotten. Well, I guess that shows you how good they are at selling their product. The league that wins the All-Star Series gets the first pick of the second round. Starting in the second round of the draft, the league goes first.
Whoop-de-blankety-doo.
If the 13th best player, the 13th best prospect in NPB will go to, let's say this year,
Central League.
It will go to A-Stars instead of to the Oryx Buffaloes if the standings are as they are now. Now that's the difference.
That could be a big deal.
14th, the difference between 13 and 14. That's what we're arguing about.
Fix it, people. Fix it.
Okay. Now, what did you like about anything you particularly enjoyed about the All-Star Games so far?
That the Central League has won the two games. That was the most exciting thing for me.
Well, it was unusual because the Central League teams usually aren't that good, except when maybe they can get. Maybe the Central League can get Higashio to come back and manage the Pacific League team. I don't think he ever won in about 4 years.
Yeah, well, I think the overall record, I think the Pacific League is leading by 4 games from what I remember. I'm checking right now. I think it was 77 to 73 games overall. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
What I enjoyed was a couple of Pacific League moments that, one is Yang's my boy.
Yang. Yeah. Yo Daikon to some people.
Yep. Yang Daikon or Yang Jung Sho or
I guess I did have one moment where I think Nadase threw a knuckleball.
Oh, I didn't see that, so
a really slow pitch with very little rotation. I think it was a knuckleball. That was about it.
Perfect for that great control, and he could probably master that. Anyway, so Jung hits a home run. Now it's been ages since we've had a type player play in the All Star game.
Uh-huh.
And so that was great. And then the other one was Kakunaka playing in Matsuyama. Now, what's great about that, you ask? Well, Kakunaka's professional start came in the Shikoku Island League.
Oh, okay.
He's the first All-Star to come out of the Shikoku Island League, and he's a pretty good one. And he said, you know, without the Shikoku Island League, I'm not even here.
Yeah. Well, he's having a great year for the Lotte Marines. We wish him luck, and...
So that was a great, to me, that's a great point. And there's going to be some great stuff tomorrow when they're playing in Iwate. And, you know, more power to them. I hope everybody there makes the most of it. I hope the fans have the greatest time in the world. And I hope you all enjoy the game.
All right. So moving along to our next topic. Now, there's a scoreless inning string out there that is not getting very much publicity. And we're guilty of it, too, because we... we've been remiss, I admit. We've been remiss.
We can't figure out what it is. It's hard.
Jorge Sosa of the Chunichi Dragons, we got to give him his props. He had to pass a tryout to latch on with the Dragons in the offseason, if you don't remember. And at first it seemed they were throwing him out there when they were losing games just to see basically what they had in him. They didn't really know. And his first appearance was April 7th, and he didn't pitch in a game until they were a game that they were winning or won until May 20th. but since June, he hasn't really pitched in a game that they've lost until the 29th of June. So at the start of the season, it looked like, you know, and I mentioned it on a podcast, his control was a little bit iffy and he really wasn't sure where the ball was going a lot of times, but he wasn't giving up runs and he wasn't giving up a lot of hits. And, in fact, he's only walked 2 guys in his past 18.2 innings, or 18 and two-thirds for some of those people who like the fractions. And he's slowly become a weapon for them. And now he has pitched in 39 innings, and still his ERA is 0. That's 30 consecutive games from the start of the season.
he could be the MVP.
And I was going to say, he has filled in, he's filled the gap of the missing MVP for the Dragons, Takuya Asao, the right-handed setup guy who hasn't really pitched well for them all season and hasn't been pitching since about a month and a half ago. So I had to go and look up what the longest, in the Central League, what the longest scoreless inning streak was, and it was Kyuji Fujikawa of the Hanshin Tigers, who has 38 innings, and this is what I could find on Wikipedia. Kyuji, my man. Fuji-Q. I love him. He's Fuji-Q. So, yeah, we got to give this guy his props and everything, but he's getting close to this record. We haven't heard anything.
People aren't talking about it.
In fact, all we heard was Tetsuya Yamaguchi, who tied Kazuhiro, the Daimajin, Kazuhiro Sasaki of the Yokohama Bay Stars. He tied his record to start the season with 24 consecutive appearances without giving up a run. 24 consecutive games pitched in without allowing a run from the start of the season. Well, Sosa's been on the roster from the start of the season. Doesn't that count?
I mean, it's not like he's got a name they can't pronounce, Sosa. Wow, that was hard.
Yeah, they have Sosa and Soto, two Japanese words, pitching on their on their staff. It's pretty cool. But anyway, I don't know what the deal is. Hideki Okajima has still not allowed a run, and he's had 35 outings for the Fukuoka Hawks. His ERA is zero.
No, he pitches in Fukuoka, so that's why maybe nobody notices.
I don't know what's going on. We're going to have to do some more investigating, but we wanted to give these guys their props because they're pitching really well.
Well, they're hanging out there. They're good pitchers in a situation which is very favorable for good pitchers. So, okay, more power to getting, you know, doing the job.
All right, so another first half surprise for you, another topic. For me, it's the struggles of Hirokazu Sawamura of the Giants. I picked him to be one of the breakout guys for – you know, when they asked, we had a question, who is going to be the next pitcher now that Darvish is gone to be one of the better pitchers? And I said it was Sawamura, and he's struggling with, I won't call it a second year jinx because I think, you know, his velocity is a little bit slower and his secondary pitches, they're able to hit his secondary stuff and he's not able to work through it. It's going to take some more work from him. And I know he works really hard. Maybe he can get his velocity back up. I don't know if it's fatigue. You know, he's still a young guy. This is his second year. He pitched the whole year last year. He had a better second half. Maybe he'll have a bounce back second half this season.
Well, he had a physical issue through most of Interleague, which was he was having, and he had a neck strain that he was just trying to work through, and it never really got better. But he had a string of about 6 or 7 starts where he got hammered. So. He was a big hole in the rotation, so I think he's going to come around. Surprises, I don't know if I have – I've been talking about my surprises all year, like these guys like Shintaro Masuda was probably the biggest one for me, which I talked about a few weeks. I think my surprise that the Hiroshima Carp are not only – you know, sometimes when – you know, I'll say it, when sometimes when teams do well, they seem to do it by smoke and mirrors. Yakult Swallows fans, if you're out there, you know, I love you, but your team is not as good as it looks. And they weren't as good as they looked last year, and they're not as good as they look this year.
Hey, you're talking to yourself.
And the other Yakult Swallows fans.
Okay.
But, you know, the first thing that crosses my mind when I see a team that is traditionally bad or has been bad for a long time suddenly shoot up the standings is they're catching some breaks. Well, let me tell you, the team that ain't catching any breaks, they're winning and they're in a good position. They're in a solid position this year to be in the playoff hunt because they've played well are Hiroshima Carp. Now, talk about not catching breaks. Not only do you lose your starting first baseman and cleanup hitter, you lose his replacement as your starting first baseman and cleanup hitter, and then you lose his replacement as starting first baseman and cleanup hitter. So they've gone through 3 starting first baseman and cleanup hitter. Actually, I don't think Mr. Eldred was the starting cleanup hitter yet, but he lasted a couple of games, I think, before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Estavanoa was hurt before him, and Kenta Kurihara was hurt before him. So this team is just a first base is, and that, you know, the power slot is just a bottomless pit there in Hiroshima. They just, maybe they'll go with 8 players and they'll be safer.
It was interesting that Stavanoa hurt himself sliding in at first base. Or running past the bag at first base, yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, first base. Maybe they can get a priest, at, you know, a Shinto priest out there and sort of purify first base at Matsuda Stadium, because there's some evil spirits out there or something. But the Carp are a team, you know, here they have lost their, essentially, the three best power hitters on the roster. And they have, for the first time in about 11 years, they have an offense.
Yeah, they're scoring some runs, and I think one of the guys we talked about, Dobayashi, I know that he's changed a little bit. He's choking up on the bat a little bit more, I noticed. I saw on the news program, actually. And since he's been doing that, he's been hitting more home runs recently.
I think Soyogi
has been hitting for power.
Soyogi's a guy who was lost ever since he was Rookie of the Year. And all of a sudden, he's just sort of like gone back to hitting for average, and he's got line drive power, little line drive power, and some of those balls are just flying out. He's just hitting them, squaring balls up. So there's that, and they're losing it. They've lost Higashide, their second baseman. And not only, you know, they're hitting for power, they've got the pitchers are coming back. They've gotten great work out of Nicolaio and another fellow who will be named in momentarily. Mr. Safarte is back. We didn't say he was gone or gone somewhere else, Michael Westbe, but we did say he was missing, and he was missing being because he was on the farm team deactivated. He did come back at the in the middle of June, I think.
Right. He also went to the States to take care of his wife. It was reported.
So anyway, so the Carp have, in terms of what they've done on the field, they've done everything you expect from a team that is contending for a pennant, that should be contending for a playoff spot. They have solid credentials. I think they're the real deal. The Swallows, I don't think so. The gutty little
Eagles.
Rockton, Golden Eagles. I love them, but I don't think so. Yeah, they might surprise me. They're more like the Swallows this year. They're more like the Swallows of last year.
I tell you what surprised me so much about them is that they've been using a lot of different lineups, a lot of different players, and they're still getting production on a regular basis. That's the thing that surprises me, because usually you see a team, at least you know the rotation, or you look at the depth chart and you can figure out who's going to be playing, and they just keep bringing up guys who you've never seen on the first team before, and they're producing. So that's what's surprising, that they're challenging for second place in that position.
Oshino told me that he didn't expect a lot from the second half, and that had been pretty much, he said he was wearing out, he was burning out, he was getting tired. He said that, but he said something else which didn't make any sense to me at the time, and the more I looked at it, I know it didn't make any sense, was the reason he was successful in his first few starts was, I started him against teams that can't hit. Well, that would be the Marines, who were hitting like crazy at the time.
Yeah, boob.
Giants, who, as we know, can't hit.
yeah, who are they? Can't name half their lineup.
who are those guys? I think it was largely a case. My guess is that he's an unusual type, and people hadn't seen him before, and he throws hard, and bammo, there we are. So, anyway, so that's that. I don't think the Eagles are where they're going to finish. On the other hand, they've got some guys coming back. They've got some good players. Rasner's coming back. He's a solid player. Kazuo Matsui, on the other hand, he was spectacular for the last 6 weeks, and now he's out.
He's injured, yeah. Spells. I'm sorry?
Disease spells.
Yeah.
Which is what he had in Houston, which I wouldn't even want to say on the radio. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other surprise, I'm kind of disappointed, which is how poorly the Hawks have done, considering everything that's gone well for them. But we'll see. I think they're going to pull out of it.
Okay. All right. So we did have a comment on our Facebook page, so let's go to Fielding Questions. And this comes from Clement in France, and he says, remember when Takeru Iwamura, this is of the Hiroshima Carp, was a disaster in the Hiroshima bullpen? Me neither. His ERA is now below 2. He throws above 95 miles an hour, which is about 153 kph here, and strikes out more batters than he plays innings. I didn't understand why they were insisting with him despite the games he was costing, but they were right. He's really turned it around and in impressive fashion. I hope he makes the Carp, I hope the Carp make the playoffs this year. So yes, thanks Clemon for the note. And yeah, he has turned it around. This guy is really, in his last 12 innings pitched, 11 Ks, no earned runs, 2 walks, 5 hits. He's part of a bullpen. I think since Cam Michelio went to the closer role, he's been lights out.
Yeah, he's been using him. They've been sort of flipped. They've both been effective, and they've been flipping him around a little bit in the last, sort of like Iwase and Asao at the end of last year. They're using one or the other. But they've been both very good. Now, I've seen the games I'd seen of Himamura before. I wondered why he wasn't pitching so well. You know, why he was giving up the runs, because he has really good, he has great.
He throws hard, yeah.
It's hard, and he has great movement. Now, what he's always lacked is, I think what happens is he lacks control and command and a plan, which is a really bad combination. I think he lacks control and a plan, and that's a bad combination.
And also the confidence to trust that he can throw pitches, you know, borderline pitches, and either get a call, get a batter to swing, or, you know, get it past him.
Yeah, he's pretty, I think he's probably one of the guys who can pretty much aim for the middle of the plate.
Because he'll never hit it.
Aim for the middle of the plate, and then when it moves to either corner, the guy's not gonna hit it, and you're not gonna fall behind the count and have to groove one.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I like him. I have always liked him, and I was shocked when you pointed out how many runs he'd allowed, because every time I'd seen him, he looked good. And I go, holy smokes, that's not the other guy with a similar name. No, it's him, Himamura.
Yeah, I see guys throw a couple of good pitches, maybe in a sequence and in a bat or in an inning, but they don't have the consistency to throw good pitches throughout the course of the at bat and get the out and finish it off and get the out. And that was his problem. He would throw a couple of good pitches, but he'd have to come back over the plate, or he would end up over the plate in the heart of the plate, or get too much of the plate, and he'd get whacked around.
Now, the other issue regarding the Carp and not necessarily Imamura is that I would have to say congratulations to Kenjiro Nomura.
Oh, yes, his contract. Is it completed?
Well, no, but the owner is saying he's going to get a new contract, which is, as you know, about as good as somebody handing you the Golden Gate Bridge. It doesn't happen until, you know, until the documents are signed.
But that's stealing, though, man. If they give him another contract, him to get a contract. Just because it's perfect, because they're having a good stretch, and they offer him a contract. And as soon as before the ink is dry, they're going to go on a skid.
I don't think so, and I don't know how much of I think it's some of it may be due to him. I can't say. I haven't spoken with him about it, but I am dying to talk to him now that things are going well. The owner said in his little statement the other day that when you watch the team practice, a discerning eye can tell that something is different. Well, let me tell you, the Carp owner knows squat about baseball. He knows squat about the minor leagues, which he runs. He knows squat about developing players. So his judgment means nothing to me. I mean, he knows less than I do, and I don't, and I know less than nothing. That means nothing to me. The fact is, the only reason is they are A, playing well in the win column. Therefore, he sees something different with his discerning eye. He's full of it.
And he's so full of it that some of it's coming out of his mouth.
Well, Mr. Matsuda, yeah. Well, no, I don't buy that. But there could be a good reason for these things happening besides some good young players. It could be the attitude. The Carp have had all kinds of – everything about the Carp is always weird. So, they're sort of like a parlor trick. You don't know whether you're a real thing or smoke and mirrors.
Well, I believe it's a little bit of smoke, but some of it is some good play, and hopefully for them they can keep it up. What was it, 15 years it has been since they've been in the top three at the All-Star break, and they have a share of the third place. They have a share for third in the standings with the Yakult Swallows, so it's not like they're up there by themselves, but they're there. They're right there. They have a chance, so good luck to them.
Well, don't worry. They'll probably be – one of those teams is going to be in the playoffs because the Tigers are playing so badly they're trying to beat the Bay Stars.
Or maybe not.
Okay, anyway.
A reminder, you can send us your questions or comments via MP3 file, and we can play them on the show. Send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we will address it on the show.
We want to hear from you.
And we know you're listening. We saw some of the numbers recently, which were pretty good. So we're real happy with the number of listeners. So participate.
Please.
All right. Have a good week. We won't have any baseball until, was it Wednesday?
Correct. We have the All-Star
game. We have another All-Star game on Monday, and then the second half of the season kicks off on Wednesday. So enjoy your baseball.